I just realized I'm software reduce volume.
Oh, don't do that. You fiend, you fool. You absolute bassoon. Bassoon? Buffoon.
You absolute bassoon.
Is a bassoon a word? It sounds like a word.
It's an instrument. It's a wind instrument.
You absolute bassoon.
You absolute bassoon. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another live episode of the Patient Players Podcast. My name is Daniel. You're listening to episode 35. I am once again joined by my facially dexterous, handsome co-host, Jordan. How are you, Jordan?
You know, in high school, they did call me facially dexterous Jordan.
That makes sense. I saw the same thing in you that they did as well.
Was it my pancreas?
I don't think I've ever seen your pancreas.
I don't think they have either, but it was something that people have seen in me. Or they know it's in me.
They do know it's... Is it in you?
It is.
I guess they didn't take it out.
It is in me, and it works 95%. So...
Oh, that sucks.
That would be bad if it worked to 0%.
That's
life,
true.
Life is hard enough on 5% deficiency, I guess.
Well, this is the Patient Players Podcast here. You're going to hear us talk about video games in this wonderful podcast. Today, we are recording our May the 25th episode. I have it written incorrectly. This is May the 25th. And what we do here on this podcast, what you're going to hear today is what we call gaming in the slow lane. That means that you're going to hear us talk about video games. Talk about video games that we like to play. However...
Yeah, we only talk about games that are racing games where you drive slowly. That's what that means.
Yeah, we follow all the rules in GTA. That's not true. That's not what that means.
The stoplights. Oh, my word. That's actually fun to me, though. I should just play, like, Truck Simulator at some point.
I mean, Euro Truck Simulator, I think I own it because of a Humble Bundle or something, but that's besides the point. The point is that we're going to talk about video games, but most of the time, we are playing games that we like, which means that you might hear us talk about the same games for a couple weeks in a row, but new interesting updates. Or you might hear us talk about great deals on games that we find or games that are given out for free with various services. Because those are the games that we like to play because they are cheap and fun and we don't get to play everything as it comes out. Sometimes we miss our favorite games when they come out and then we come back around, snag them when they're cheap, and we have a great time with them. If you're feeling the chill atmosphere, we're recording a little bit later than normal. There's like some nice soothing rain outside of my window right now.
I want the soothing rain. I had it like all day, but it went away by now.
Well, just go back to the rain and then we can start recording there.
Or I could drive down to see you.
That works too.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully the rain will stick around for you.
Man, if portals existed, imagine what that would do for like, first off, like shipping and handling. Oh man, that'd be amazing. But like for visiting your buds, just like walk through a door. Man.
I've actually considered this a lot in, like, big ways, mostly because of science fiction books that have it or have, like, faster-than-light travel, and, like, the amount of social norms that would change is astounding.
Yeah, it's like the way that texting kind of influenced relationships. I feel like portaling would totally influence them, because... It would be like you could see anyone at any time, so therefore, if you're not seeing someone at a certain time, it's because you specifically do not want to see them, you know what I'm saying? Like there's almost like this free boundary of we physically can't see each other right now, which gives me room to not see you, you know. But if you could always see someone, then if someone's not seeing you, it's because they specifically don't want to be with you.
That's true, but I feel like you could still get around that in the same way that like right now, if you physically wanted to see if you wanted to see someone at all, you could video call them. Like literally, most adults that I know have a video phone available to them at all hours of the day.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's like, but it still doesn't happen and people can still find excuses for it. Anyways, this is a very complex topic. I've thought about it a lot. I don't think there's a single aspect of life from like military to social to romantic that would be the same if teleportation technology was invented. But I also imagine that whatever technology allows for teleportation would be extremely expensive and time consuming. And you would probably end up reserving it only for big cases like flying. Even though we can fly, we have the technology to fly, you have to stand a really long line, and it's really expensive, That's probably how teleportation is going to be if we ever get there.
But then there's going to be that one company that makes it cheap for everyone to use, but it's only like this big. And so you can like shake your buddy's hands or like peek through and be like, hey, how's it going?
Or it like works 98% of the time.
Oh, also, it's this is a podcast. By this big, I mean like a foot across.
Speaking of, this is actually a podcast. If you're wondering.
I like that. That should be our tagline.
This is actually a podcast.
Yeah, our new slogan. Patient players, this is actually a podcast.
Right now, you could be not only hearing our beautiful voices, but seeing our wonderful faces live on Twitch as we do all of our podcast preparation and recording live on Twitch. You can join us right now if you're somehow hearing this but not on the Twitch, which I don't think could be happening. Or if you catch us in the future recording, that's over at twitch.tv/patientplayers. The best way to stay up to date on how to reach us is actually going to be through social media or our Discord that you can find over at facebook.com/patientplayers, Twitter @patient_players, or you can find our Discord over at patientplayers.com/discord. Inside the Discord, you will find us hanging out, play some games with us, hang out with us any way you want, ask podcast questions in the podcast questions channel, or sign up to be notified of any new posts or streams or episodes that we make available. So that's the best way to follow what we're doing if you like what you hear today, or if you want to jump in and ask a question live, join us on the Discord.
We also have Facebook and Twitter.
I mentioned those.
Oh, sorry. I wasn't listening.
I was surprised when I said Twitter, you didn't roll your eyes at the underscore like you do every week.
Oh, sorry. There we go.
Yeah, okay. Now I feel much better.
Just the mention of our Twitter handle that bugs me. Oh, my goodness.
You want to talk about some video games?
I guess.
That works.
New tagline. Want to talk about video games? I guess.
Yeah, like we played a bunch of video game this week.
True.
Is that fair to say?
That is absolutely fair to say.
Yeah.
I did a lot of real life stuff this week, actually.
That's rare in these unprecedented times.
It is. I went out and I saw some friends.
Oh.
To congratulate them for getting engaged. Shout out to my buddy Evan. Good job, Evan. We're so proud of you.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Evan, there's no better way to celebrate than to join us live at patientplayers.com. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, man. He is in our server, so, you know.
He is. I've seen him. Didn't he join last week's recording?
I don't think so. That was Judah. You're mixing up my friends again, Daniel. Now, I would appreciate it if you could memorize all my friends' names,
Evan,
and their lives.
Evan has slept right here on that futon.
Oh, you're right,
I know
actually.
Who Evan is.
Okay, yeah, fair point.
I do not mix them up, I promise. Fair and Judah, point. Judah has been on Discord right here, like last week, so I definitely know your friends.
That was fun. But yeah, fun. I didn't actually play many video games this week, apart from the usual.
Right.
Man, Animal Crossing is winding down more and more.
What?
I have gotten to the point where I won't even bonk on my rocks every day.
You won't even bonk your rocks every day.
I won't even bonk my rocks. I'll walk past it and I'm like, I don't need any more iron. I don't need more clay, you know? Like there's like a 1 in 100 chance of getting some gold, but that's not worth bonking 5 rocks every day. You know what I'm saying? I think you know what I'm saying.
I think so. To me, the worth of bonking 5 rocks every day is so low that I don't own Animal Crossing. So I feel like I know what you're saying, but have always known what you're saying.
Wow. Wow, I'm still waiting for you to make a save on your wife's island.
I almost did this week.
Really? Was it to keep her least favorite person?
Yes!
You're evil.
Her best villager. He's the best villager that she has.
He's a green goat
named Gruff, and he's great, and he reminds me of my good friend Ethan. He acts just like him. And also, Ethan has a thing about Gruff. Or Gruff. Think about goats. Ethan loves goats.
Oh, okay.
So it just works. Like, he's just Ethan. And I was so sad that Marion hated him and constantly bonked him with a net and wanted to get him to leave.
Ethan was a best man in your wedding. So this is high praise for this green goat, for those of you at home.
Yeah, and it was and so Marion doesn't tell me too much about her Animal Crossing Island. Actually, she tells me a lot. She likes to show it to me, and it's cool, and I'm into it. But, like, her villagers, I kind of know who they are. But man, I heard about Gruff every day, and he instantly became my favorite, just how awesome he was. And he started... So not only was he moving out, he was manipulated to move out.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong. I can't argue. He was absolutely...
Another... He was forced to move out. Other villagers were moving out, and the system was manipulated by this dictator of the island who rules with an iron fist, and Gruff was banished.
It's like a whole new form of gaslighting.
I had one day to save him, and I considered making a character to save him. I also considered...
I don't think you could have saved him.
I also considered buying the game and then time traveling until the point where I could have invited him to my island.
Oh, my word. That would have been insane. You know, I do have his amiibo card, Daniel, so don't worry. If I visit, we can secretly put him back on her island.
Yes!
If she's ever away from her Switch.
Yes, we're absolutely doing this.
When she wants peanuts so badly, we put just Gruff back. Oh, my word.
Can you, like... Here's a question. Can you, like, scan the peanut card and, like... print out,
swap the chips?
Yes, if you could dig out the RF chip from the peanut card and put in the Gruff one. And so she scans it,
man. I love this plan.
Gruff,
I could easily, you know, people on Etsy are making a killing right now selling amiibo chips of the characters. I could say I need a Gruff one, but if you could put a peanut sticker on it, please, that'd be great. Send it to this address. Like, I'm legitimately bummed that Marion's in the chat right now.
The return of Gruff would be the ultimate power move.
Oh, my word.
To just come back and lead the rebellion against the dictator that rules the island.
Really?
Anyways,
the rebellion?
Anyways, wow. I was very upset about Gruff leaving, and I'm a little sad about it. I'm still a little... It's not even my island, but Gruff is gone.
Well, yeah, he's gone. He has gone to the void. He no longer exists.
He got replaced by a literal cow.
What's the cow's name? All right. Name?
Tipper.
Tipper the cow.
Are you gonna? It's just a cow. It's just a cow.
Oh, she's kind of cute.
It's a cow.
It's a cow. I really like Angus.
It's Angus.
That's a great name for a cow.
That is a great name for a cow.
And he wears like a flame shirt too, just to make it even better.
like a grilled Angus.
Uh huh. Yep.
That's amazing.
It's like they 100% knew what they were doing.
They definitely do know what they're doing with the villager names. I would agree with that. Anyways, so Animal Crossing's winding down for you. I've lost all interest now that Gruff has gone off the island.
You've lost all interest, even though if that interest was like 0.1%.
The interest was making a character so I could keep Gruff on her island longer, so I could continue hearing her complain about Gruff every day.
You played yourself, Marion. If she ever wanted you to play, she lost her opportunity.
She doesn't want me to play her. A whole island's already... like planned out. She's got no room for an extra house.
You could totally mess it up. It lets every other player just destroy your work. Like every time I realize that, I'm like, there's got to be so many families out there with like siblings fighting over their island design. We're like, mom, little Timmy picked up my whole orchard again.
No, here's what you do if you're the smart mom in the situation, right? You just make a character and you just dig a trench all the way through the middle of the island, and you say, all right, this is little Timmy's, this is little Jimmy's side, you get Nooks, you get the museum.
That's amazing.
And then none of you are allowed to go over there's no bridges, you're not allowed to cross this river.
Oh my word, you could absolutely do that.
They meet perfectly at the little airport at the bottom.
I really love that idea. Hooray for segregation, you know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying.
Sibling segregation.
Wait, why did I say that?
Sibling.
That was a mistake. Oh, man.
Anyways.
I just hear on the delay my wife laughing at my stupidity like 3 seconds later.
Oh, no. Yeah. Well, that's what wives are for, honestly. They got to keep you humble.
That and telling you about their Animal Crossing islands.
And their goats. Their poor goats.
This is... yeah. Goodbye. Goodbye, Gruff. So that was supposed to be your segment about Animal Crossing, but instead I talked about Gruff for a while.
No, I didn't have anything else to say, dude.
Just like, bonking rocks and bonking rocks?
Yeah, like, I'm so rich now. I almost slept in today, and I almost didn't buy turnips because I woke up at 11:45, and I was like, oh, no, I have 15 minutes left to buy turnips. How much do I care? I cared enough.
How many bells do you even have?
What?
How many bells do you even have?
I have 9 million bells.
I did not realize my wife had more bells than you.
You take that back. I'm surprised, actually.
Yeah, she hasn't even done turnips for like 2 weeks.
Oh my goodness.
She took 2 weeks off. Two weeks ago, she took a week off. Last week, she did it. This week, she took a week off again.
Well, how many does she have?
Like 13 million or something.
Oh, okay. Probably because I paid off a second house. That probably would have balanced it out. But even then, she even had like the great turnip escapade of 2020.
what are you talking about?
She time traveled and lost all of her turnips.
Oh, yeah. That was unfortunate.
And she still has more. That's crazy.
It is crazy. She's a dedicated Animal Crossinger.
But man, I have found a new Discord server. I kid you not. I've done it 6 or 7 times so far.
Uh-huh.
The first one I join every time, I'm first in line. Wow. I don't know what it is about it, but it is like, I sent it to my sister and she replied like, Jordan, this is too easy. Like we had to wait like hours beforehand and now we get our turnips sold in 15 minutes. She's mm-hmm. like, if you could like make it a little harder, please. Like this is like the server.
That's the point. There is no point to Animal Crossing. There is no challenge.
But we're rich now.
There are mild inconveniences that you have to put up with for long enough to get what you want. That is the challenge of Animal Crossing.
Yeah, well, we did it. We won.
You beat it.
Time for the next content update, please.
Yes. Bring in another sloth or something. I don't know. Did they already do the Earth Day update, or they just announced it?
No, they did. Yeah, that's true. They brought in the weed sloth.
That's when the art came in.
He buys your weeds. Let's put it that way. Yeah.
Does he really?
Yeah, he does. He pays double for your weeds for some reason, and he sells bushes and flowers. He's like that's everyone's funny. Least favorite, I'm pretty sure.
Except for the people who are really into sloths.
Which is, sloths are popular right now. Or they were a while ago.
They are. Are they taking over the owls? Owls used to be super popular. When I worked retail, I worked somewhere that had nothing to do with owls, but my little desk of knickknacks they try to get you to buy as you leave the store was just full of owl crap all the time. There were like owl lip balms, owl pins, just like cute little owl key rings. Owls were in for a while in the middle of the 2010s, apparently.
Weird. Well, now it's sloths.
Decade of the sloths is
they had begun. The great sloth lords had to make a comeback after they were losing their kind in Australia.
Are sloths common to Australia? I think you might be mixing that up.
What was the one that was like dying from heart attacks that you were told about at your zoo?
Those were dying from the Amazon forest. That's right.
Oh, sorry. Wrong fires.
Wrong fires. Yeah.
The great Australian sloths. They bounce like kangaroos. They have little sloth pouches.
But it's like really slow. It's like,
even mid-air like jump, they're like floating through the air. Amazing.
Yep. So that's sort of Animal Crossing, but not really Animal Crossing because you haven't been playing as much, right?
Yeah. Honestly, Terraria has taken over.
Oh.
Yeah.
Which was weird because I was like excited to play together, and then it's like, and I know you would still play if I wanted to, but we're on like, it's like being a side chick. I'm like your side Terraria server.
No, dude. I always want to play with you still. I always just, that's my problem of not asking you, is I'm always like, I hope tonight's the night. Daniel's like, because the reason I don't ask is like, you kind of need to be in, you need to be feeling Terraria to enjoy Terraria.
That's true.
And so if you're not, I don't want to be like, hey, you know, do you want to play Terraria? Like, I'm like, if Daniel wants to play Terraria, he'll tell me he wants to play Terraria, right? Is that a bad mindset?
Not exactly. It's not a bad mindset. It's also just weird because it's like, oh yeah, look, I have the God Sword, and you're just like one-shotting bosses. I'm like, cool. What if we like got on and hit things for 20 damage for a while?
That's on my other.
Died in master mode.
That I've had 8 years. He's a buff boy.
That's what I mean by being the side chick.
Oh. But the best part to me, the best part about Terraria is its replayability at all. Like every playthrough is different. And so that's why it's fun to do with friends, because even starting over with a friend is fun, because it'll be a new experience.
Sure. We could play some Terraria.
I would like that.
just turn and winked at me halfway.
I winked at the camera. I winked at the audience.
Okay.
Enough about Terraria for now.
I think the other reason that I haven't been playing Terraria with you is because it seems like every waking moment, rather than actually working on things like making the podcast Discord better, we've just been playing Heroes of the Storm.
Yes. It's
excuse me, I need to correct myself. We've been losing at Heroes of the Storm.
There you go. We've been it still counts as playing, I'd say.
It's both. It's just more specific.
Oh yeah. We've been lose playing. We've been plusing.
We've been plusing at Heroes of the Storm. Patient players, we do love and we lose at Heroes of the Storm.
We plus games.
I like how I keep inviting people to play with us on the stream, and then I'm just like, we're awful. We die and lose all the time.
Dude, I had three amazing games tonight as Tracer, just in quick play. Like, yeah. even losing is fun in quick play. I realize losing is not fun if you put a ladder in there. Ladder is like, hey, look at this game that I have fun with. Now let me not have fun with it because I hate myself, I guess. Or I want to have some associated value in this video game instead of just enjoying the video game.
Like, I guess
I am never going to queue up by myself in that cursed mode.
The storm
lead with you, then yeah, you know, sure, you know, with buddies, it was. Is there a word that's like a little less than fun?
I don't know.
It was a little fun. There we go. It needs an adjective slapped on that bad boy. Slap it on there. It was
slap
a little
it
fun. It wasn't very fun or real fun. Like the goofy hijinks we have in quick play.
I guess, but at the same time, like, okay, here's I think why we differ in that aspect. I feel like when I feel myself getting upset at losing in a ranked mode, I can detach myself from any like value associated with the rank to still have fun and be like, you know what? It doesn't matter. I'm still having fun. And I get mad for a second and then I'm done and I'm having fun again. But like in the quick match, you have zero control over what map you get or what hero you play. And so if you get locked into a bad game where the person you wanted to play or like the playstyle you wanted to play is just not viable, you're stuck for like 22 minutes just feeling useless. Like that to me is more frustrating than losing rank points.
Wow.
So to me, I actually find quick match can be just as frustrating when it's like, all I wanted to do was just like play Imperius and fight dudes, and the enemy team has like four wave clear heroes.
You say that, but all of your Imperius games we had so much fun with, and those are quick play games.
That's true. I have fun with both of them. I just like the organization of the ranked mode.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, I like the team crafting and the map strategy that you can have when it's not randomly selected.
I can't think fast enough for the team crafting. It's too stressful. If I could queue up always to never be the chooser of the round. Oh, my word.
So for anyone who's lost, Heroes of the Storm is the game. We've talked about it all the time, so I'm not going to go into a ton of detail, but it's the game where you play one of five heroes on one team against five heroes on the other team, and you go at it, and you have minions that go back and forth. It's a MOBA game. If you've seen Dota, if you've seen League of Legends, you know a little bit about Heroes of the Storm. What we're talking about is that you can play a quick play match where you choose your character and then it throws you together with the team on a random map and you play. Or you can play like a ranked mode where you go through a whole drafting phase where you have to ban certain heroes from being played and then pick certain heroes and take turns with the enemy team. And you got to craft like this perfect synergistic team. And then you already know what map you're going to be playing on, so you can craft your team for that map. And there's a lot more strategy involved. And what I was saying is I like that, but it's a little bit stressful. So sometimes just jumping in quick play is fun.
You have like 30 seconds or 20 seconds to make decisions. And then when your team isn't communicating, you know, it can quickly turn into a nightmare.
Here's another primary difference between both of us playing that is that you are literally always the highest ranked. And so you're always making the team selections. And I've been the highest ranked like 3 times. So I don't know what that stress is like. I just kind of make suggestions in the guy who's the highest rank, because it chooses the person who has the highest level on your team to make all of the important characters like ban choices. And so I never have to do that.
I'm glad I found the website though that kind of recommended like, here's all the best people performing right now. So I was just like, that one's good. I guess
just cut them out of my life. Just get them out of here.
Yeah, wow.
I did earlier today. I had like a limited amount of time before I had to leave the house, and so I wanted to play one more round of Heroes of the Storm, and so I picked an AI match, which is just AI matches are just you brutalize and bully some AI for a while because they're so bad. And I was playing this hero that we're talking about named Imperius, who just excels at fighting other heroes. Like, he's really bad at doing other things that you're supposed to do while you play the game. But if he's just fighting another hero one-on-one, he destroys them. And it was great because the AI never ran away. And so I would be fighting me versus three enemies and stay full health the whole time and just be decimating them. And they would stay and let me do it. And it was great. I think I had double the hero damage of anyone else in the entire game by the end of the round against the AI. It was just fun. I was just bullying a bunch of robots.
Better than people.
Oh, you cut out for me. What'd you say?
I said better than people.
Yeah.
Not as fun, but better.
Yep. We had an interesting experience. We mentioned losing a lot. So you play a couple games to find out what your rank is, where you rank amongst everybody else, and then you can go up or down from there. Jordan actually ranked significantly higher than me. He ranked a full medal above me. I ranked above bronze, silver, and gold. I ranked in the platinum area. And Jordan ranked all the way up in diamond, which is above platinum, just underneath the master level player.
Wow, I didn't realize it was under right under master.
Yeah, dude, you're almost a master. That's crazy. Until
I was
you played
almost
with me, and we lost 8 times in a row.
Oh.
I feel like only a few of them were my fault.
So brutal. No. Not a few of them.
Most of them were my fault?
No. It was a mess up nightmare. I hate ranking systems in video games. I hated it in Overwatch. Like, uh-huh. To me, if you are not the best player of both teams, mm-hmm. then like ranking up is not something you can do like consistently.
Sure.
You're 20% of the team. Like, 80% of it is basically blind luck.
Right.
Depending on who they choose, or if they're actually good at who they choose, or if they all get mad, like, halfway through and start throwing, you know, getting triggered. Or what's the poker term?
Is folding?
There's some poker term for you're getting mad, and so you start playing worse.
Oh, I don't know that. Huh. Razzled. Rattled?
Razzle-dazzled. You get razzle-dazzled.
You get razzle-dazzled. Losing makes you razzle-dazzled. But I... Oh, you made me lose my train of thought talking about poker.
Oh, no.
Oh, I've had the ranking system explained to me this way, is that you have 10 players in the game, right? You are one of them. And so if you play well, then that means you have 4 chances to have a buffoon on your team that loses the game for you. But the enemy team that you're not on technically has 5 chances to have a buffoon on their team that loses the game for them. So if you are good enough, you're basically giving yourself a consistent 20% lead against your opponents. And so you could end up
tilted
at the end of the day.
Yes.
Oh, does tilted come from poker?
I could be wrong about that.
I know the term tilted.
I'll Google
it. I was just thinking about the word the whole time.
But no, someone in chat was kind enough to help me with that. Oh, my word. Thank you so much. I was Googling it. And
you were getting tilted at not knowing tilted?
I was.
but yeah, like that if you just play enough games and you are supposed to be higher ranked than you currently are, you will eventually climb yourself up there because of that. Just that inherent percentage difference where the enemy team is much more likely to make mistakes than you if you don't make mistakes.
Yeah, so tilted originated as a poker term for a state of mental or emotional confusion or frustration in which a player adopts a less than optimal strategy, usually resulting in the player becoming over-aggressive.
Today I learned where tilted came from.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yep, and so it switched over to a lot of games because it applied so easily there.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure that someone just like brought it up on stream and everyone's like, oh, this is perfect.
This is the perfect word. I am absolutely tilted right now.
I have a great similar story. I went to Disney World with my extended family earlier in the year. My wife's family took us to Disney World. It was a whole thing. It was great.
I just imagine your family being like all Inspector Gadgets when you said extended family.
Yeah, my very elongated family. No. That's an anime title if I've ever heard one.
Elongated family?
My very elongated family.
Oh my goodness.
No, but there was a point where they had gone to like a discount merch shop where it was like Disney merch that they had like over an abundance of, and they had like marked it down in this like special side store.
Ew.
And so the my in-laws showed up and they were like handing out gifts to the different kids in their family, and they got my wife a hat that just has a Mickey pretzel on it and it just says salty.
I think you told the story before on the podcast.
Oh, did I?
I think so.
She wore the hat on the Patient Player stream earlier this week when she was playing Dark Souls, which was
great.
Nice.
That's awesome. Did she do that on purpose? Because that's amazing.
Yeah, she did. Nice. She was like, should I put on my salty hat to play Dark Souls?
That is so good.
Yeah, it was a pretty good match. Speaking of which, that's another game we played this week.
Match?
Besides Heroes of the Storm. What? No. That's another... What? Are you confusing? Are you doing this on purpose? What are you doing?
Yeah, I am. I'm just tripping you up.
Oh, okay. You're making me tilted.
What's another... tilted. Now in podcast. Now a podcasting term.
So, if you saw on the Patient Player social media feed, we started up some Dark Souls, which is one of my favorite games of all time. If you remember our top 10 games podcast, I think it's like number 2 or 3 for me. I forget where I put it.
Wow. But
I love Dark Souls. And... I've talked all about it. Mary knows all about it. Well, the remastered edition, if you saw the tweet that we put out, it went on sale for a few days for like $13, which is the lowest I've ever seen it. And so I bought a copy for my wife, Marion, and she was like, okay, I'll play this on stream, I guess. That sounds fun. So we've done two streams so far. One longer stream where she set up her character and got all the way through the tutorial area. And then her second stream was a little shorter, kind of like a late night stream. But she got to the first like bonfire checkpoint, which I was pretty impressed. But my goodness, her character might be the ugliest Dark Souls character that I've ever seen so far.
That's saying a lot, because there are some ugly boys out there.
Did you join the stream and see her character at all?
Yeah, I said, please tell me its name once I saw it.
Oh, yeah. But
which its name was?
It was Amagichu. After
it was Imagichu?
Named after the Imagichu from Duralius and Associates, the web series.
Oh, I thought it was like Fiona's grandma or something.
No. Unfortunately, my equally ugly green orc character, Fiona Gamer Girl, is as of yet unrelated to Imagichu.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. They maybe, could be like, maybe. Make your own canon.
Yeah.
They actually are related.
Yeah, okay. I like this Dark Souls headcanon.
Mm-hmm.
So, I was watching her play that first stream, and I was like, man, Dark Souls is a fun game. I want to play some more Dark Souls. And
this was after you already made a character and beat, like, what, half the game on level 1 to specifically play with her?
Yeah, I have a level 2 character that is just about to enter Anne Orlando, for anyone who knows where that is.
He should take Anne Orlando to dinner first.
Well... that is a very far into the game. I'd say it's like at least the halfway point. And
I haven't played the first one, so I don't know what that is. Well, I've played it multiple times. I just didn't get very far.
You gotta play it with me. Sorry, I'm getting distracted by you wanting to play Dark Souls with
me. Can we like mod it to where we don't have the stupid limitation of me running out of humanity inevitably at some point?
Or you could just connect with one of my characters that has 99 humanities. I could just drop a bunch for you.
Oh, you can drop them?
I'm pretty sure you can drop items in that game. I will research that, but I'm almost positive
you
can
drop
items.
Like, just the thought of getting to the point where it's like, oh, we lost again because Jordan's bad and so he died at some bad point. But we literally can't try it again without grinding another aspect of the game to try it again.
That's so unappealing. Here's the thing. If you're playing with me, we won't lose.
But if I die, it kicks you off.
Did you just stay in the corner?
I gotta be in the action, man. I gotta be in there. I'm not gonna passively wait by.
Okay.
Could we play through the whole entire game together or just the bosses?
No. It's a lot like your experience playing Bloodborne with me, where once you enter a zone, you can summon in people to play through the whole zone up to the boss with you, and then you defeat that zone. And then you would resummon them into the next zone.
I thought we only did bosses together.
No? I mean, you can choose to put down your summon sign, right? So when you and I played Bloodborne a lot of it was in the the dungeons where you pretty much only have one room or two and then you go to a boss. So that's probably what you're thinking about.
Okay, yeah.
But in the main game, you can, like, as soon as you enter a new area, you can summon people in and they'll go with you through the whole area.
So, okay, cool.
But I played a bunch more Dark Souls. I played some on stream before Marianne did to get that character you were talking about through a lot of the game to help her. But apart from that, I was just like in bed and I was like, I don't want to go like boot up my computer to play Dark Souls. I just want to like play something for 10 minutes before I go to sleep. And so I booted up my Switch copy of Dark Souls Remastered and I made a new character on there. And I've gotten really, really far. I have gotten further than on that other character I mentioned to you. I got through that next zone. And
man, that is really a testament to how much this game means to you, that you're willing to play through it multiple times on different systems just because it's fun. Like, that is that's when you know you got a good game. And this game is how old exactly?
I don't know. Early 2000s? I forget year.
That is like a testament to that's a well-made game.
I'm playing with a character that is based in the intelligence stat and using sorceries for the first time. I've never done that as a magic-based character. And in some ways,
it feels 9 years old?
Dark Souls 1, is it only 9 years old? That doesn't
sound
right. Okay,
sorry. Continue. I think it is.
Oh, okay. Well, so yeah, I'm playing with a sorcery-based character, which means like as you're running around this world fighting these monsters, you have they use like the spell slot style of magic where you don't have a mana bar, you have a certain number of casts of a spell between rests, so you can't just spam spells.
Yeah,
you have to use them wisely. But I'll tell you, once you get your intelligence stat to like the upper limits of where it's useful, they have like a soft cap of how useful each stat can be as you increase it. I have reached the soft cap on intelligence, and my spells for most of the low-level enemies will just one-shot everything, and it feels kind of broken because I've never played a character with any sort of ranged ability before, and, like, going through this game, I've beaten a half dozen times, and, like, I know the enemy placement and the patterns and everything, but, like, instead of having to nimbly dodge around them or, like, counter them, I can just kind of stand off and be like, pew-pew with a little magic attack, and they just die. I'm like, great, I'm done with this area.
I've heard that magic is, like, the easiest way to play through a Dark Souls game. So every time I play one, I don't do magic.
I would say it's a really bad way to learn to play the Dark Souls. If I started off with magic, not knowing where all the enemies are, not knowing all their patterns, it would be really hard. Because you die super fast. And you have no way to block. And also the timing of casting your spells is really important to not cast it right before you like are going to get hit and die. So I would not suggest magic for people who are just trying to out the game, but once you know all of that stuff, it definitely feels like cheating when you can cast like one spell and a quarter of a boss's health goes away.
Oof.
You're like, oh wow, that was really easy. I had to work way harder than that when I used a sword.
Interesting.
So I don't know if I have much more to talk about on Dark Souls other than it's a good game and we should play it together, and I should play with Marianne and she should play more on the stream. And just, hey, if you like Dark Souls like I do, pay attention to the Patient Player's Twitter. I'm sure you will see some upcoming streams.
Yeah, I've actually missed every single time y'all have streamed that game. So hopefully one of these days I'll be able to make it.
Nice.
I've always been busy and I'm like, I want to watch Marianne play Dark Souls.
Why don't you make your own character? And then both of you guys can play through on the stream and neither of you will know what's coming. And I can like coach you.
But then one of us runs out of humanity and some
nightmare. I'll go farm tonight. There in the DLC... At the very end of the DLC, there is an area with nothing but like 30 enemies that all have a high chance of dropping the humanity item.
That's what I'm talking about. Is that like easy to get to?
No.
Well, so they did that for players. Why did they do that then?
To make it easy to have a bunch at the end of the game, I guess. But what I'm saying is I have characters that are there. So I can just go there and get a bunch. And we just have to make sure that it's possible to drop them in your friend's game. But I'm pretty sure it is.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yep. So I will look at that and try to get you guys some humanity.
That's pretty funny, actually. That's the only Dark Souls game I haven't played.
Oh,
and beaten.
It's so good. It's so good.
Yeah.
Very fun.
Crazy.
Also, I would be down to watch you play Sekiro because that was equally as fun. And I beat it equally as many times.
I forgot about Sekiro.
Yep. Hey, and if I'm if you play my copy on Steam and I'm watching you, then you have no worry that I'm playing a game and blocking you from accessing it.
That's fair, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Mm. So, that's really it for games, isn't it?
I want to talk about Terraria a little bit. I only briefly mentioned it earlier.
Oh, I thought you said earlier that you were done with Terraria. I'm sorry.
No, I said more on that later.
Oh, what? Okay. It is later. I'm prepared.
But after your comments earlier, I'm afraid of me telling my tales of victory and success will dissuade you from or further make you believe you're a side chick, a Terraria side chick.
I assure you, nothing you say from here on will make me want to play Terraria less.
Okay, that's fair. Well, I finally. This week, I think it was this week. I'm pretty sure. I would have mentioned it last week. But I beat the final boss.
Okay. Is there a new final boss with the update?
There is not. But with the update, there was a new difficulty. Wow, I sound like you. Oh, my word. Who would have known? It took Terraria to make me into, this is my try-hard game. If there's a new difficulty, I got to play it, and I got to beat it.
Yeah, man. You've always been a try-hard. I don't know why it surprises you.
It's crazy. But the best part, this were. Really makes me sound like you. The best part is it was actually really hard. Even with the sword
that
I showed you.
That doesn't sound like me.
The crazy in-game sword, I died, I think, 5 out of 6 times. On the 6th time, I got him.
Wow, and you're wanting us to play on that difficulty?
Uh-huh. Without the amazing items that I have, I am oh, man, it'll be so hard.
This is going to be hard to the point of being unfun at a certain point, isn't it?
I think it'll be so much fun. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, good. I'm so excited you're enthusiastic.
Ooh, it'll feel so good to beat him, started from the beginning, and now we're here, you know what I'm saying? On the hardest difficulty. It was satisfying for me to use my 8-year-old character to do it. I can't imagine, being this is a legitimate guy who started in the difficulty, and he made it here.
But we didn't start in the difficulty.
We started in the mid-difficulty. And then
that's going to feel okay? Or do we need to restart characters now from scratch?
No.
To feel the full accomplishment?
I don't think so, because remember, we died last time on...
Yeah, it's hard.
Someone
that game
we should
is
have
hard.
Oh, good times. Great times. So yeah, I beat him. They added a new boss who's a bullet hell boss.
Ugh.
And it's really cool.
The thing about bullet hells is you can move yourself on a 2D plane in any direction. In Terraria, you can't do that, I guess, when
you get
flying wings.
Yeah, with wings. Oh, yeah. Wings are, the go-to. But it was funny. I didn't realize that it had a special feature about it if fought during the daytime. So I said, here we go. I'm ready to whoop this boss. It's, super down there. On the difficulty slider, I'm like, this will be easy peasy. So I summon it, not realizing it had just turned daytime. And I'm like, let's go. And then splat, immediately get one shot by the first missile. And I'm that's weird. I'm like, surely they didn't make this whole boss just one shot you. But apparently if you fight it during the daytime, all of its bullet hell attacks kill you in one hit. Which, who cares? Just fight it during the night. However...
Is there a special item?
There's a special item if you kill it during the daytime where all attacks kill you in one hit.
It's got to be a perfect bullet hell game, right?
Or you just do what I did and go really, really fast.
Wait, what do you mean go really, really fast?
You just go really fast. Just zoom across the map and it's chasing after you and you're attacking it as it's coming after you. Even that,
so the
that
bullets
took me,
aren't reaching you?
Yeah, but even that, it took me 7 tries because it'll teleport to you, and so you have to dodge it when it gets to you, and it'll shoot missiles your way. It was so much fun to do that, and I love the fact that they added that as a feature.
You are definitely a Terraria tryhard.
I'm totally the Terraria tryhard.
I don't know what it's like to have stooped to your level, but I don't want to be there.
It was fun. It was so fun. It was fun to have challenges, because with every update, I just play my old character because I don't want to go through the entire game again. I play my old character just to experience the content, and it's easy because he has a lot of stuff. This time I was wow, these are new challenges for me to get. And I was so excited when I found out about this one-shot boss. I'm like, there's literally no defense you can use to get this. You actually have to dodge.
That's cool.
It was fun.
That is really cool. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that you're having fun with it. I'm excited to keep playing that when we stop playing Heroes of the Storm, which I really like that game, so I don't know when that'll be.
It is good.
It's a fun game.
And Journey Mode? Uh-huh. Oh, my goodness. I feel like Journey Mode should be like... It should be like a revolutionary new thing for all games somehow. Really? Or all like building games.
Okay.
It's made... Like I said, I don't like playing from the game like over from the beginning again. But it's made playing the game from the beginning fun again. Because it basically turns the game into like a collectathon. Because like I said before, you scan everything you get to be able to duplicate it. And essentially, it's creative mode. So starting over a new save in that mode and just collecting just everything has been so much fun. And getting to fight bosses again. Because I can't use any of my old items. It's literally locked to journey mode characters.
Right.
So I've been having so much fun with that.
Good.
Yeah.
So you've been doing both of those save files and Heroes of the Storm? My goodness.
Yeah. It's just two games, honestly. And then like 30 minutes of Animal Crossing every day.
Is this where all your Animal Crossing time went?
Yes, probably. And also, you know, I have a lot of hours in Animal Crossing, so it was bound to happen at some point.
Jeez. I like how going from playing just Animal Crossing and cutting that down has allowed you to start playing two different versions of Terraria and Heroes of the Storm.
Yeah. It's nice. Okay. It's nice playing old games that I already own. You know, like I've spent $0 on Terraria with this update. I spent $0 on, I did spend money on HOTS. I was like, this is a good game. I'm going to buy some skins for like the first time ever.
Oh,
and
really?
I did. And I, you know, I played the game for like 3 years now. Oh no, I spent like $15 or $20 in it.
Yeah, I think I bought one of the hero packs back when I didn't have all the heroes, but I've been waiting for some sale on that boost. That would be the thing that gets me to spend more money
on
it.
Yeah, I bought the boost too.
Yep.
Yeah, because it's a great game. I love it, and I'm glad that they still... I guess they wouldn't like shut it down completely.
Right, but they would just kind of stop development on it.
Yeah, which they basically did, or they slowed it due to their team getting nerfed.
They haven't had a new hero since Deathwing, right? Just a bunch of
reworks. Yes, it's been so long since their new hero... But I don't blame them for the team they have.
The reworks have been helping, so I think the development team they have has been doing a good job with that at the very least.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
The reworks feel like they're new heroes, right? Like, new Tassadar is a new hero. New Cassia is very different, but she seems bad, so I don't know if that counts.
It's not new if it's bad.
The Nexus Anomalies have been interesting. That's where like the Heroes dev team has said, hey, we're making some really drastic, really major changes on a short-term basis just to see how they work, and then we're going to see if we want to keep them. And they made some with the way that experience points are gathered, which I think most people have liked and have kept around. They've also made changes recently to how like the structures will defend you from enemies, like towers and stuff shooting at your enemies. And those are pretty massive changes that have really changed the game. And I think the current ones, there's been like a universal like, hey, we get what you're trying to do, but the way you've done it is really bad. And I think they're asking for feedback on how they can fix it. There was actually a forum post they made this week about like, give us feedback about this. And here are some of the ideas we've had to fix it. And like, which ones do you like?
That was a really good post. I enjoyed reading that because I don't like some of the changes.
You kind of get in their head a little bit, figure out what they're going for.
But I didn't like the tower changes, but I think I'm adapting to it.
I have adapted my playstyle to it, but I still think it's bad. I think of the three changes they suggested, I think they should remove the armor reduction or at least have it. I don't think they should keep it the same that they're doing it right now.
It should absolutely focus the objective, though, because that completely shuts down, you know, pushing with objectives.
Someone made a good point that that most of the maps available... There's the curse, which shuts down buildings already. There are several objectives that directly attack, like Blackheart's Bay, like Sky Temple, and Hanamura, all directly attack the buildings anyway, so those don't change at all. And the Dragon Knight is already considered a player.
Mm-hmm.
So really, it's only the Tomb of the Spider Queen and the Punisher, the Punishers from that map. And there's one more. Or the Garden Terrors. Those are the only three that actually are affected.
But Garden Terror is actually still fine because that allows for counterplay. Because, you know, it creates the thing that shuts down the towers.
Yes.
So like, I'm fine with those games because I can be like, oh, it's still up, so I'm free to go in and attack them. But as soon as it goes down, or if they focus it down, you know, you can't go in.
Yeah. Oh, in Volskaya, the objective is considered a player as well.
Oh, yeah.
So really, it's only Tomb of the Spider Queen and Infernal Shrines. Those are the only two maps in the game where the objectives aren't focused.
Interesting.
So those two maps were drastically changed, and a lot of people hate Tomb of the Spider Queen right now because of that, because the objective is basically useless. But yeah, shall we move into questions and talk with our chat?
Sure. Yeah, I like that.
All right. So for anyone listening to the podcast, you can send us questions over at patientplayerspodcast@gmail.com. That is the email address you can send them in. That is kind of the primary way we receive questions. But you are also free to join the live Twitch chat over at twitch.tv/patientplayers, or on our Discord, we have a podcast questions, which is going to be the best way live to get us questions. That's the podcast questions channel on the Discord at patientplayers.com/discord. The link is in the Twitch chat. So we will be reading all of those sources and answering your questions now. I actually did see one shout out to in the chat. Original Breed was mentioning, after today's topics, trying out both Heroes of the Storm and Terraria, and absolutely. Plus, if you want some friends to jump in there with us, definitely join the Discord, because we will be in there when we're playing those games, or if we see you in there, we'll give you a shout out and you can maybe join us. That'd be fun.
Fun times.
Yeah.
But not as fun as email time.
Email time. Yeah. Best part of the podcast. All right, let's see what emails we've got here.
We have one today from our usual writer, Kay.
I don't know who to believe anymore. I can't trust you.
Yeah, seriously, though. I thought the same thing. Like, after last week, the way he jinxed us, he japed us.
He duped us.
He duped, he japed us. He did all of the above.
He did many things to us that we didn't appreciate. Well, he didn't. Keaton did.
Oh, yeah,
him.
Keaton did.
Keaton has been a bad friend. Can I just say, Keaton has infiltrated our email. Keaton has impersonated our favorite emailer. I'm a little bit grumpy with Keaton.
Keaton, there's boundaries in friendships, you know? Like, you gotta let us go to be free to read our other emails from our good Agent K.
Is he Agent K or is he just K?
At one point he was Agent K.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure. Maybe not.
I think that sounds familiar. This is gonna be the weirdest thing I've said all podcast. That sounds really familiar to me, but I'll tell you why that sounds familiar to me. On the GameCube, some games, when you made a save file, could make separate save files based on the slot they took up on the memory card, like the blocks they took up, and they would have names. Metal Arms Glitch in the System was a GameCube game that you could have multiple profiles on, and one of the profiles that my friend made on my GameCube was called Agent K.
Huh.
And he would always play Agent K, and so that sounds really familiar. Okay, Keaton, did you come over to my house at any point without telling me when I was young?
When you were young, before you even knew him. In fact, his whole friendship with me has been a ploy to get into your life, like,
right,
that you know of.
Get back into my life from when he was there when I had a GameCube.
Exactly.
I was playing Metal Arms.
Yeah, but I don't think it's Agent K. I just searched like the email inbox and I did not find it. So I completely made that up.
No, it was you. You were playing the GameCube.
I'm Agent K.
You're Agent K.
But not this K.
This is just K.
Okay.
All right. Do you want to read the email from K, or shall I?
I will do it.
Do it.
It says, Dear Mayor P and Secretary PP, greetings. It is I, your ever-loving scientist K. Oh, he's a scientist now. How are you
Man
doing?
Man with many masks.
I wish I could say I have been doing well. There's the typo. But
I feel
alas,
like that one was given to us. I feel like he's doing it on purpose now, which makes it not as fun.
We wish. Maybe it means something. But alas, my situation is actually quite dire. As it turns out, it was actually a lot harder to find a bathroom in this place than I had initially thought. Where was he again last time?
He started telling us about how he like confronted the yokai boss. And then I don't remember what happened next. I think that was the point where he talked about how he died and came back. And I think...
He was touring some building. Remember he said that there was 1,000 different bathrooms?
I don't remember this.
For every kind of yokai.
I do remember this. He's in like the yokai headquarters. That's right.
Okay. So I mentioned last time that there was a different bathroom for every yokai in this place. Amazing. If I just kept reading. but I wasn't prepared for how many different bathrooms there were. These bathrooms seem to go on for miles, and I still have yet to find one that is suitable for a human being. Some of the toilets in these bathrooms are completely beyond my comprehension, which means, this means that he actually went in a few of them. I was going to say, dude, just use, if there's miles of bathrooms, just use one. No one will know, but it sounds like he went in a few.
Oh, they'll know.
All in strange, otherworldly shapes that seem to fit, that seem to shift and writhe in and out this plane of existence. Spikes in...
That's the real typo. That's the one he didn't mean to put in there.
Oh, is that a typo, though?
Writhe in and out of this plane of existence.
Writhe in and out this... Oh, you're right. Yeah, of this plane. Spikes and tentacles flowing out of their base, the sounds of screams emanating from the pipes, and overall just seem a bit too dangerous for a human to be using. Okay. Like, that gives him a pass.
I feel like these would be great portals back into the original abyss where we started this whole adventure,
the
though.
The toilets? Oh, my word. Okay, so you know what isn't too dangerous for humans works, to be using, though?
It works for Mario.
Touche. A GameCube controller.
Also debatable, but continue.
Recently, I've been playing games on my computer using the GameCube adapter, and it has been working great. Though it feels a bit cheaper than modern controllers, I think the GameCube controller rises above all the rest for one reason. The face buttons. Okay. The way the face buttons are shaped and positioned are ingenious, and nobody who uses the controller ever forgets which button is where. I have told people about this before, and their usual reactions are like, oh yeah, sure, I guess, or whatever, but you just gotta memorize where the buttons are on each controller. It's no big deal. No, it is a big deal. This is not an opinion. This is objective fact, and you can't convince me otherwise. This is all in caps, by the way. I get so dang peeved when I'm playing a game. It's like press X and I press Y and I do a thing that I didn't want to do. It sucks. And it's because people are so complacent about this issue that game designers still think that it's okay to keep putting four identical buttons on the right side of all my dang controllers. There is no question this week. I just want you to tell me how right I am and spread this message to the world. Love, and I am the only one who is right. Okay.
Wow, not only do we finally get Kay's message back after Keaton so rudely deleted it, but he also has a crusade and he's a little peeved. Wow, what an email.
Wow. Can I say...
Uh-huh, you can.
I'm pretty sure the GameCube is the only controller mm-hmm. that I actually did keep forgetting which button was X and which button was Y.
That's true, because those are the only two that are the same. So it's like the concept that he's talking about of each button being in a... Here, hold on.
Yeah, I never mixed up A.
I literally have a GameCube controller right here. Let me grab it for the stream.
Never mixed up A and B, because they're different sizes. X and Y are just... They're in different spots, but they're just the button just rotated.
So,
and I was younger and more, you know... What's the word? Ignorant.
Dumb. Oh, okay.
That works.
Inexperienced.
Dumb.
For those of you who have joined us on the Twitch live stream, the podcast users, I will give you an auditory guide of the GameCube controller. Here we have the center A button, a large green button that your thumb fits over as you play the game, the primary button that you press. Within easy reach is the B button, slightly to the left and down is a tiny little red button that you can feel as a tiny little button, so you know it's the B button. However, to Jordan's description, to the right side of the A button and above the A button are two identically shaped gray oblong shaped weird buttons. This is the X and the Y button. The Y button is above the X button.
Okay, so the Y is on top.
The Y is on top. The X button is to the right. In fact, the basic Super Nintendo controller and the Switch controllers follow the same pattern of A on the right, B on the bottom, Y on the left, and X on the top. So it's kind of like if it was shaped like this, it would match.
Oh, okay.
But... And that's how the Super Nintendo is, and that's how the Switch is, only they are the full actual, like, buttons.
I thought X was on top on the Switch. Oh, that's what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's like...
So they had Y like on top like before it was cool.
Yeah, so it's like, if I turn it this way, if I turn the controller sideways, it matches the Switch, where X is on top, Y is over here on the left, A is on the right, and B is on the bottom. It's like they took the A button and shifted it into the middle... While the controller's sideways, because that makes sense. But I think the real person to blame here. Let's all be real. Sony did their own thing. Sure, X and cross, whatever you want to say about those don't matter as much. The real criminal in this entire issue is Microsoft that came in with their Xbox and were like, yeah, we know the Super Nintendo's out there. We know the GameCube's out there. We're going to use literally all the same buttons with the same letters, but we're just going to swap all of them.
Huh.
The Xbox controller has X and Y swapped from Super Nintendo, and it has A and B swapped from Super Nintendo. And now, because the Xbox controller is the most frequently used one on PC, then that's the one that a lot of games cater to. And that's the one I'm most familiar with. But then when you turns out, like, when you're someone like my wife who plays 400 hours of Animal Crossing, and then you jump into Dark Souls, and it's like, hey, you're about to die. Press B to dodge. And she, like, uses a item. Or
dude, you need to be on top of this. You have software that swaps the buttons. How did you not do this for your Switch wife?
Because the buttons are in a good place for where you need to hit them. But you have to,
I guess, like, that's fair.
Like, the B button is the right button on the Xbox controller, both literally and figuratively. It is the one on the right, and it is the correct button that you should be pushing to dodge, because it's really easy to hit that button with your thumb, and you need to hit dodge a lot. However, when you tell Marion or someone who's played a bunch of the Switch, hit B, she hits the bottom button, which is
yeah.
A.
Yeah.
So it's not that the buttons are bad and they need to be swapped around. It's that the names of the buttons are stupid, is what I'm saying.
Saying Microsoft had it, or they had it wrong, and Nintendo should have been right all along with X on top.
Neither one of them were correct. Nintendo was first.
Okay, I would say that makes it correct.
Yeah, so Microsoft coming along later and literally switching all the buttons for no reason and then adding a white and black button, which they had on the original Xbox.
Maybe they did it to match the PlayStation.
No, the PlayStation doesn't have any of those letters.
But like A being select and B being go back, you know, like just where they are positionally.
But on the original PlayStation, the top button was go back. Triangle. It was X was forward and triangle was back. It wasn't until the PS3.
I thought X would go back.
X is go forward. X is the bottom button on the PlayStation. And it's go forward.
No,
and
circle was the original yes. Because you're like, yes, this is my selection. And then it became the back button. And they're like, wait, what?
No.
Is that not right?
It was also on the original PlayStation. It was different in America and Japan. So figure that one out.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
Yeah. So in enough ranting, I agree with Kay's base premise here that you should definitely hop in one of those yokai warp pipes because you're definitely going to go to the Mushroom Kingdom. But two, the GameCube controller differentiating the buttons by feel alone and color and size is a fantastic idea that they should bring back. Where's my Elite controller? This thing is like $150 freaking dollars, and none of the buttons are even colored. They're just black. Which is which? Which is which?
Yeah, that was.
They all feel
the
same.
The fancy controller.
They all look the same. I don't need them, which is probably why they did this on the Elite controller, because I actually already know all the buttons, and I kind of like it that they're black. But
so, in an interview with Teyu Goto, designer of the original PlayStation controller in Japan, he explained that the circle meant yes and cross meant no. So circle was select and X was go back. So they just swapped them for America. The triangle symbolized a point of view and the square is equated to a sheet of paper for menus.
What? But here's the other thing. That matches the Super Nintendo, which had A as the confirmation button on the right and B as the back button on the bottom.
Oh,
so
yeah,
the Japanese
right. Yeah.
PlayStation did match the original format of the Super Nintendo.
Okay, good. So yeah, Microsoft was literally like, they just like threw the buttons down on the table like, that's great. Let's do that.
Let's just swap them around. X and Y, switch them. A and
goodness.
B, switch them. Yeah. So,
wow.
I don't get confused by that as much anymore just because I play a lot of games. But definitely Marion has been having some trouble. It actually kind of became a meme during the course of it, because if you don't have any items equipped in Dark Souls and you hit the item button, your character just kind of goes like this.
Wait,
weird.
What?
Yeah, it's like they throw their hands up and they just kind of shake back and forth, and they don't make a noise, but they're just kind of like,
no, I don't have anything to do.
And so I was like trying to tell her how to like put her weapon into two hands so that she could like whack stuff harder with a two-handed weapon. And so I was like, oh, hit the Y button. And playing Animal Crossing, she hit the left button, which is the X button. And so her character would just...
You know what would have solved all of this?
What is it?
Is if Nintendo had released their button-swapping mechanic back when the Switch came out. Because it only came out months ago. You can now swap around buttons on any controller, any first-party controller you're using with the Switch. So if it had come out years ago, I would have been like, I'm not used to this. Just swap these to match Xboxes. You know?
You could, but here's the thing. Everything we're talking about is useless for, you know, power users. Like, people who do a lot of this stuff are going to just know the buttons, and it's not going to be a problem.
It's rough for me to switch to an Xbox controller now, because I've also been playing a lot of Animal Crossing.
Yeah, I get, but like, I imagine that you switch over in your mindset in like 2 minutes, right? It's like that first few minutes of playing, you're like, oh, right. And then you remember.
Maybe. I don't know. I actually haven't used one in a while.
Also, the colors help. Like, if you're playing Xbox, it's like, oh, a green button is on screen. Which one do you push?
The green one?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's the bottom one. It's A.
Yes.
But, yeah, there you go. I feel like we've solved the world's issues. Let's get different shaped buttons. See, okay, but here's the thing. Where's my Xbox controller again? So you've got the GameCube. We said the X and the Y are the wrong shape, but also, like, this only works if your games have one primary button and three secondary buttons. Like, mashing this B button feels bad. It's not good. I did a ton of that in Super Mario Baseball, because you had to, the faster you push this button, the faster your characters would run.
Oh,
and
nice.
It's so tiny, and it doesn't, like, mashing the A button makes sense, but you can't mash all of the buttons. So, like, how do you take the utility of this and the usability of this? Just, mwah, I don't know.
You don't. Or that's what the Switch Pro Controller is.
Or you just make a better B button.
Isn't the Switch Pro Controller the most popular controller in Steam right now?
Oh, I have no idea. Is it? Is it just because everyone has one and you can use Bluetooth controllers on Steam?
I think so. I heard somewhere that it's like it passed the Xbox One, which I think is insane.
Well, most of the Xbox ones, the newer ones are Bluetooth, but most of the older ones, if people already owned them, like I do, they need the special dongle, whereas the Switch one is just Bluetooth. So that makes a lot of sense. Like,
oh,
I'm sure there's
yeah,
a lot of people
point.
Out there. Like, I could connect my Switch one, but I can't connect wirelessly my Xbox ones. If I want to play on a Steam Link with my Xbox controllers, I have to plug them in with a physical cord because the dongle doesn't work on the Steam Link for old controllers.
Okay, so sorry, yeah, it was second most popular. So that makes more sense. Xbox One still is in first place as of 2018. But the Switch Pro jumped all the way up to second place.
In like a few years.
Yeah, just 2 years after the Switch came out, 2 or 3 years.
Jordan, I just realized something.
What?
We forgot a whole section of the podcast.
We did? Oh, the free games?
Yeah. Yes. Well, that's okay. There's not a lot to talk about. We usually talk about different deals for games that we've picked up throughout the week or found or deals that you can get out every month. But this week, we're at the end of the month. You're going to get one more week of the May deals for Humble Bundle, for Xbox subscriptions, for PlayStation subscriptions, all that stuff. Definitely check us out next week, and we will talk about all of the new June games.
Will they be out next week?
Yeah, I keep forgetting that by next week it'll be the very end of May.
Yeah, so
they'll probably
be
announced
week. Oh, you think so?
Sometimes they get announced a week or two early.
Okay.
Xbox Game Pass this week has had Cities Skylines added to it, which I'm pretty sure is the game that was for free on PlayStation Plus. So, let's talk about that. Also, they've had Alan Wake, which I know that Control got some Alan Wake-related DLC recently, so that might get you into that franchise. But those two games got added to the Game Pass for PC. And then last week, we were talking about how they announced their big free game reveal for the Epic Games Store during their sale, which was GTA 5. And then they're doing a new, like, big mystery game every week. And this week's game was Civilization 6. So from now until Thursday, you can go and grab Civilization 6 for free on Epic Games. I know I did that. Did you do that yet, Jordan?
I did. I mean, I already owned it on Steam, so
well, I didn't.
Now I own it twice.
Nice. So if you are of the ilk to play a strategy game like Civilization VI, go pick that up. And then look out for Thursday. They will have another game, but it's still showing a mystery game.
I'm excited. Like, I miss there being two games being free at once, but having, like, so far they've been big name games, like $60 games.
Would you rather have two games that you don't play or a game that you might actually play?
Yes.
All right. Now you know. Well,
I think we did it.
I think that's going to be a podcast. I think it's time to wrap this up. What do you think?
Yes, I'm glad we covered the deals
at the very end.
But you only there's like none.
It's the sweet cherry on top. You only get them if you stay through the whole thing.
Oh, that's cruel. Man, I'm excited for the month transition. I'm excited for Humble Bundle just because I actually got it this month. So hopefully they add new ones. That I'm
you think they'll add extra at the end?
No, next week. Just when the month resets. I hope they add like just new ones that I'm interested in.
Oh, so you can buy it again. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Will they be as good as chess, though? Let's see.
Oh,
let's
see if it will be chess as good like as chess. Three times. It's been great. It's only three times, but that's a lot more times than I booted up most of the games.
That's true.
That I own.
That's true. All right, well, that's going to do it for the podcast. We will open up last-minute questions in the podcast questions Discord channel. Anyone? Twitch chat? But
nope.
You can join us again next week. We do our live recordings over the weekends. Keep an eye out on the Twitter and on the Discord to know when we begin those recordings. And then you'll find each episode on Mondays, our new podcast schedule, Monday releases. And have a happy long weekend, everybody.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.